Shocker, how you doing?
I'm awesome, buddy. How are you?
I am very well. Lots happening. Game 7 tonight for the old Kings. Of course, you got the Habs in a must-win situation at the Bell Center. So let's get to the real story first. What are they going to pull out tonight in their pregame ceremony to inspire the crowd?
You know, it's been the same. That's the thing, is right from the first round through, it's been the same. They haven't changed anything. So I don't know if an elimination game means there's going to be something different or some different kind of effect or song or something. But, you know, one way or another, the building is going to be rocking tonight. This building is, and I've talked about it on the show already, this building's unreal. I think if Boston comes through the first 10, 12 minutes unscathed, I think they'll probably win the game. Montreal's got to feed off of it early and try and get something done early.
Lineup changes. Is Beaulieu in for sure?
Well, we don't know for sure, but the guys that went to the morning skate for Montreal, and it's funny because they have the morning skates different parts of the city, right close, so you can't necessarily get to both. I couldn't get out to Montreal's, but Dregs and Marty Baron were there, and they think that Beaulieu is going to go in and that Doug Murray comes out, which is, it's interesting. This guy doesn't have a lot of experience. He hasn't played in the playoffs yet. He's not a real offensive guy necessarily at the NHL level. He only got a couple of assists this year in 17 games. But we do think that there's a real good chance he goes in for Murray, as they want just a little bit more speed, a little more puck-moving ability in their lineup. But I didn't think that Bouillon was that bad. I was a little bit, you know, when they took him out in the first place,
yeah.
I'm surprised they're not going back to him.
Yeah, that's my question. Is he banged up?
I don't think so. Okay. I think he's okay. I haven't heard anybody suggest that he's banged up. I haven't heard anybody suggest that there's a reason other than the coach just pulled him. And, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's been around. And I thought his game was pretty good. But they made the change to Murray, and now they want more mobility, more speed. And Beaulieu definitely has more of that, probably, than either one of those guys. But, I mean, he's played one NHL game in the last 3 months. Like, that's a tall order to throw a guy into something like this.
Yeah, although Bruce Boudreau didn't mind doing it. His goalie got a shutout, so I guess.
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
You do it with a defenseman, maybe it's easier.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, you know, Beaulieu's he's a decent player. He's been a decent minor league player. But I don't even know if they use him on their second unit power play. We'll have to wait and see. But they want to be able to generate a little more speed out of their own zone. Like, Boston did a really nice job somehow of becoming the faster team in the last game and a half. And Montreal needs to get back to being faster. They need to break out of their zone faster. They need to stretch the ice out. They need to find, like, the first few games they were finding their guys behind Boston's defense for stretch passes. That's just kind of gone away. So I get the feeling, and I think Danny Briere might go back in tonight too. I get the feeling they're just trying to get more foot speed back in the lineup to try and get back to what worked for them earlier in the series.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Ryan, the water spray from Thornton. You know, obviously there's no physical harm to it. People will just say, you know what, you don't spray guys in the course of play. If that was after a whistle and Subban skating to the bench and he sprays him, it's probably not a big deal.
Yeah, probably not a big deal. The problem is that you're squirting water into the face of a guy who is handling the puck. And he's got a guy pursuing him. And any time you do that, I mean, it's a dangerous game. And so what happens if you hit him in a certain way where he, you know, his hands come up to wipe the water out of his face and he gets lit up by the guy chasing him and goes awkwardly into the boards? Like, you can't do that. And I know some people think, oh, it's ridiculous that they would make a big deal or fight. You have to. You can't let that happen. You can't do that. I mean, he acted like a goof on the bench afterwards, like, just stupid, pretty ridiculous, pretty bush league. This is the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, this isn't men's league. You were kind of wouldn't even do that in men's league unless it was a buddy or something. So I don't have a problem with the fine and a little bit of an embarrassment. I think that's probably, he probably had all that coming.
PK Subban, Milan Lucic. Lucic's giving him the flex, which is, you know, that's just mental warfare. I don't have a problem with that sort of thing at all. Guys want to chirp and go after one another. Subban's been very good in this series, and I can understand Lucic trying to get in his grill because I think Subban maybe has been the best player of either team.
Yeah, and kind of lost in all that flexing from the bench and everything that went on during that whistle. They had that one shift there where they were just, I mean, they were trying to kill each other. Lucic was all over him. There was huge battle in the corner, battle in front. It was a real battle. And I actually give PK a lot of credit. I mean, he's never going to fight him, and he never has to. But he stood in there physically against that guy. And Lucic is that guy's a load, man. He's not easy to play against. So I think PK's done a nice job when he's been matched up against him, not to back down at all. Like, he stares him in the face and two hands into his chest and pushes back and chirps, and he's not backing down from a bigger, stronger, tougher guy. I think PK to me is all of the questions that I had about PK Subban coming into this playoff year. PK's answered almost all of them through the first round and three quarters here. He really has. I've just been tremendously impressed, and the Canadians will have to pull out the checkbook. That's just the way it's going to have to be.
Oh yeah, $8 million. I don't think is that's probably the low end of his deal. Maybe 8 to 8.5 is what I'm thinking.
Can you believe that, man? The risk reward of the bridge deal. I remember when he signed that bridge, people said, well, if he earns $8 million, then hey, you got an $8 million defenseman on your hands and you're probably a really good team. But stroking that check for 8 over 8 is going to be...
I don't think... Do you think it in Montreal? Come on, man. Like, they're just like, meh, whatever. They got oodles of money. Places yep. sold out. I'm not sure, you know, there's a better media... Like, PK Subban in Montreal is beloved because... You know what?
Oh,
He speaks his mind. He does it in a good way. He's charismatic. He'll make fun of himself. He'll do a lot of things. You know, he really gets in that community. I think, you know, I don't know if Montreal right now could probably ask for a better face of their franchise, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I think the only question that remains is what is $16 million over the next 2 years going to, how does that affect PK Subban? What happens to him? Can he handle that kind of money and still stay on the right side of it all? And I think he probably can, but I think had they done it 2 years ago, it might have been a mistake. Maybe PK doesn't reach this level at this point in time if they went ahead and showed him the money earlier on in his career. Yeah. Maybe this was handled well by the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it because let's say he elected to do a long-term deal back then, 7 years or whatever. He would have, the only way he would have done it was for at least $6 million.
Yeah.
Right, at least. So you look at it, they really, if you're taking the first 2 years and then you go the first five of this deal, it's not like they're getting crushed, right?
As no,
far I think it was
sure,
worth
right?
it. Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it costs them more money in the long run, but you make sure about the investment, and if it's as good an investment as they think it is, then it'll pay itself off. It'll pay dividends. So a little bit of patience and a little tactical work by Bergevin and the Canadiens. And it's going to cost them some money here, but it's money they feel they know what they're spending it on. Whereas before, it's like the Oilers and Justin Schultz right now. Do you know exactly what you're spending your money on? Because I don't think they do. The Canadiens know when they spend this money, they're spending it on a top 10 world-class defenseman.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, if you, Daniel Briere, you know, interesting, the guy's being a playoff performer. Obviously,
sure.
You know, the points he scored early in his playoff career don't mean anything today because he's not the same player. But he had some success in the first round against Tampa Bay. Is he coming back in? And if so, what do you think he adds?
Yeah, you know, I think he's coming back in. We believe he's coming back in. Travis Moen, we think, is the likely candidate to come out. So he's a faster player than Moen, obviously. He'll play on the fourth line, we think. I just think that if you're going to go out, you don't want to go out with the skill of Daniel Briere in the press box. He's a fourth line player on this team, but he's not really. He's pretty skilled for a fourth line guy. So at any point in time, he could strike. Whether it's, we saw him earlier in the playoffs, breakaway pass. We've seen him on the power play do some good work. He can be dangerous. And while he's not dominant shift to shift, at any point in time, he can strike. And I just think you have to have that in your lineup in a game like this, where you don't know where the offense is going to come from. You don't know what you can count on. You got to give yourself every chance. And I think Daniel Briere has a better chance to be a difference maker in this game than a guy like Travis Moen or even Brandon Prestwood.
Yeah, yeah. Prust was one. I didn't really understand that one, to be honest. Yeah. But because they're going size up front, but now they're going against the size on the back end.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, they have better, they can get better matchups at home, so they can get those lines out against the proper defensemen. They can, they have a little bit more ability to take some liberties. Like, dressing this defenseman in a game like this, well, they'll be able to protect him on the matchup front as long as they don't get into icing trouble. So it makes sense to give it a go now rather than introduce a guy to the series on the road. So whether it's Briere or Beaulieu or whatever, whichever the changes we're talking about, if you're safer to make them at home.
Shauger, are we going to game seven?
Yeah, see, I'm torn. When you're 2 weeks on the road, you're just looking forward to getting home. So part of you says, let's just go home. But game seven in any series would be spectacular. Habs in game seven would be spectacular. So I'm going to say the Bruins finish it off tonight. I'm going to say that, but I don't know. Maybe I can't tell if that's coming from my heart or my head.
Well, either way, get home safe.
All right, buddy.